Hi, I'm Carmen LaBurge. Thanks for listening to the podcast of Mornings with Carmen LaBurge.
Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And I won't worry about tomorrow. I'm trusting in what you say. Today is the day. Today is the day.
Good morning. Welcome back to Mornings with Carmen. I'm your host, Carmen LaBurge, the United Methodist Church. Is in the middle of a conversation that every other mainline denomination has been through. And tomorrow here on Mornings with Carmen, we will talk with Mark Tooley from the Institute for Religion and Democracy. He is a United Methodist. He's following this story closely, and he will be here to discuss it with us. Today, we're going to turn our attention to headlines that they're literally burning it up. On the Wall Street Journal, on Forbes, on Bloomberg Business, and now at the New York Times. Here's the New York Times headline related to this. The New York Times headline says, when the bully is the boss. And it's an article that leads with three words, Senator Amy Klobuchar. And she is fending off what is now a stream of stories from former staffers that she was a volatile high-handed boss who often demanded, and the word here in the New York Times is humiliated, people who worked for her. She has one of the highest rates of turnover in the U.S. Senate. And so I'm going to talk with Bill English from BibleandBusiness.com about the kinds of things that business owners and employers do that demoralize their employees. And then we're actually going to turn it around and have a positive, frame it in a positive way. Like, what can you as an employer do to actually encourage and build up your employees instead of tear them down and be demoralizing? So we want to equip you today to not be the boss who is a bully. And we also want to encourage you, if you have a boss who is a bully, we want to encourage you as well. So all that up next with Bill English from BibleandBusiness.com. You're listening to Mornings with Carmen. I'm your host, Carmen LaBurge. Hey, welcome back to Mornings with Carmen. I am Carmen LaBurge. Hey, I want to remind you, you can always text me at 877-933-2484 during the show. Again, that number is 877-933-2484. Thank you to the person who reached out and asked, hey, I know you live in Middle Tennessee. We've been praying for you guys with the flooding, what's going on. So I'm going to give you a 20-second update. Today is now the seventh day that our kids have been at least on a 2-hour delay. So we're still on a 2-hour delay because buses can't pass through the north end of our county because of deep flooding. And so they were completely out of school the end of last week, and obviously didn't go to school over the weekend. But we are now into Wednesday of this week. There was no school on Monday and yesterday and today, still under these emergency issues. And we have a lot of people in our community still evacuated and living in shelters. And so, you know, it's stressful for those individuals, and it gives great opportunity for Christians in the community to respond. And so thank you for those of you who are praying and sending resources to this part of the country. We sure do appreciate it. Hey, Bill English, good morning.
Hey, how are you doing?
Well, I'm great. I'm great. It's so great to talk with you each and every week. And there's, the news never fails to provide us with a jumping off point for conversation.
Boy, if that isn't the truth.
So I'm using as my jumping off point for this conversation, the headlines related to Senator Amy Klobuchar and apparently her particular management practices. And you have an article posted at BibleandBusiness.com entitled "The Top 10 Things Business Owners Do That Demoralize Their Employees." And I just want to walk through them. So I'm going to let you just lead us off.
All right. Well, the first one, actually number 10 in reverse order, you're a moving target. So you tell your staff to take hill A this week and next week. You tell them to take the next hill, and they don't take any of them because they don't have time and they're not properly resourced. The Bible talks about letting your statement in Matthew 5 be yes, yes, or no. Let your no be no, let your yes be yes. You tell people to do something, you need to resource them properly, and then give them the time to get it done. And don't be a moving target. Don't be wishy-washy. Don't be changing your mind all the time. So that's the first one. Go ahead.
Well, I just want to say something that I learned from people who were working with me. I resist the concept that, you know, people are working for me, but, you know, I know as a business owner that it is true. But when I'm working with people, one of the things that I have learned is that my mind happens to, you know, jump to great ideas, you know, pretty quickly. And I was not being a respecter of how long it took to walk out some of those ideas and actually get them to the place where the idea was brought to fruition and we could all then celebrate it as a great success. I was already in my mind moving on to the next great idea. So I had to learn that because I'm wired to be that kind of thinker, and yet I'm not the person who was responsible for carrying out all of the dot and tittle. So that's what you're talking about, right?
It is. And entrepreneurs can always see into the future, see what could be. They can see it, right? I mean, you can see it as a reality. And so you wonder why everybody can't get on board and get there as fast as you want to get there. That's how entrepreneurs act. That's how they think. That's how they process. They got to slow down because the rest of the world just doesn't work that way. For entrepreneurs, their 40 miles an hour is probably 80, 90 miles an hour for everybody else.
Mm. Yeah. All right. So number nine is you act like a child.
You do. Yeah. Speaking of blowing your stack, when you don't get your way, you get angry. You know, that's one of the things I look for, by the way, when I'm interviewing people for jobs. How do they act when they don't get their way? Do they act childishly, or can they handle getting a no and just view it as a constraint that they have to work around or something like that? When you get mad when you don't get your way, you're being a child. Psalm 37:8, refrain from anger, turn from wrath, do not fret. It only leads to evil. And Ephesians 7:9, do not be quickly provoked in your spirit, for anger resides in the lap of fools. Hello, we don't want to be fools, right? So let's put our anger in check. Just because we don't get our way doesn't mean we need to get angry.
Well, and I think the word there that you used, the word constraint, is really important, right? We have to learn over time that we do live in a limited universe in terms of our ability to have what we want when we want it. And delayed gratification, I think, is part of that, too. So number eight, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say our culture does not do delayed gratification. It just doesn't. Right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, you can have this thing today because the financing, you know, you deserve to have this thing right now. Marketing is all about getting rid of delayed gratification.
Mm. So. All right. Well, delaying no further, let's jump back into the list. Number eight, you have a low opinion of your employees and a high opinion of yourself.
Yeah, I've met a few entrepreneurs who honestly believe that no one can do what they do as well as what they do. And so they hire people and then just micromanage them to death. They walk around the shop floor and correct every little thing that they think somebody is doing wrong. And they can sit down and get it done in half the time and so forth and so on. These kind of leaders, these kind of entrepreneurs, really end up having a very low opinion of everybody that they've hired. And you kind of wonder why they hired him in the first place, other than they just needed people so that they could scale their business. That really is an arrogant thing. And in Isaiah 13:11, God says, I will put an end to the arrogance of the haughty and will humble the pride of the ruthless. So.
Yeah, I also thought that in response to that particular one, Philippians chapter 2 would probably be good for folks to read. that we're really supposed to esteem others as, you know, as better than ourselves. All right. Number seven is you are insecure.
In the quietness of your own mind, I wrote, you're highly afraid of being incompetent. So when you're asked a question to which you don't know the answer, you make up an answer to appear knowledgeable and in control. You think you're fooling others, but you're not. Proverbs 17:28, even fools are thought wise if they keep silent and discerning if they hold their tongues. There are just times when you're the owner, you're the leader, when you don't know, just say you don't know. Everybody's okay with that. You don't have to have all the answers.
All right, Bill, you and I have to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to run through the rest of these, the top 10 things business owners do that demoralize their employees. My conversation is with Bill English. You can find it all at BibleandBusiness.com. You're listening to Mornings with Carmen. I'm Carmen LeBurge. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Mornings with Carmen. I'm your host, Carmen LeBurge, continuing my my conversation with Bill English from BibleandBusiness.com. We're talking about the top 10 things business owners or employers can do and often do that demoralize their employees. Bill, we have arrived at number six, working backwards down our list. You are selfish. I mean, you're not selfish, but a business owner who would do this is selfish.
Yeah, I've run into this in retail environments where employers will have staff come in later if they're slow, or send them home early if they're slow, or if they're suddenly real busy and it's their day off, they still call staff and say, I need you to come in and help take care of the customer demand, that kind of thing. And it's always couched in terms, or not always, but it's often couched in terms of, I need to save on payroll, or, you know, we really are dying over here and we need some extra help. That's really a selfish way to treat your employees. You know, you give them a schedule, you expect them to be there. You as the employer ought to honor that schedule and not treat your employees as if they are just a piece of inventory that you can pull out at any time and utilize at your convenience. Philippians 2, 3, and 4. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say that boundaries related to social media today, I think, have to be a part of this conversation. I know folks whose employers expect them to now be available 24/7 and respond to emails on the weekends and actually work during their vacations. Like the selfishness / what are the appropriate boundaries, I think, is another part of this conversation.
That's a great point. I have a friend who CFO in a company. He goes on 2 weeks vacation to Hawaii with his wife, and the employer said, well, I won't bother you for the first week. I'm like, no, he shouldn't bother you for both weeks. I mean, you're on vacation.
Right. All right. The antidote for this is Philippians 2, verses 3 and 4. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. All right. And I think this leads directly into number 5, which is you're egocentric.
You interpret events around you only as they relate to you. You don't understand how the events around you relate to each other. You don't understand how one person is influencing another in your organization. You only understand how they relate to you. That is egocentricity. Proverbs 12:15 there, the way of fools seems right to them, but the wise listen to advice. That's not exactly on egocentricity, but I tell you what, Carmen, if leaders don't understand the moving parts in their environment and how the people are affecting each other within the environment, they're not going to lead well, and they're not going to.
Yeah, maybe we could use one of the verses related to the body and its parts and all of it working properly in order for the whole thing to be built up together. There, that'll be my. I'll cast that bread upon the water today. Okay, so number 4 is you rarely praise or encourage your employees.
Yeah, you don't notice when they do something well or go above and beyond the normal job duties. You only notice when they do something poorly or act out of line with your rules. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, therefore encourage one another and build up each other just as in Christ you are doing today. So.
Okay, and then I think number 3 is really, really insightful. So one of the things that business owners or employers can do that's actually demoralizing, that they imagine might actually be positive, but it's ultimately demoralizing, is that you pass out titles or you give people new responsibilities, but you then don't resource your employees properly. Unpack that a little bit.
Yeah, titles in most people's minds imply a decision-making authority and imply a certain level of access to resources. So if I name you, Carmen, the senior vice president of great radio hosting, then you would immediately begin to think of, well, now what do I get to do? What do I get to access? What kind of resources do I get to access? That kind of thing. But if you pass out a title in your company and then you don't resource them properly, and resources include authority to make decisions, then all you're going to do is just demoralize your employees to death. It's a horrible way to run a business. A title does not give somebody the ability to succeed. Resources and proper authority is what they need to succeed. 1 Timothy 5:18, do not muzzle an ox while it is treading out the grain. The worker deserves his wages. Those kinds of verses are the things that employers need to pay attention to.
All right, we're down to number two and number one. Number two is you are a micromanager. Talk with us about why micromanaging people demoralizes them.
Because you've hired them to do a job. You've hired them presumably for their talent, skills, abilities, intuitions, that kind of thing. Steve Jobs once said that we don't hire smart people so we can tell them what to do. We hire smart people so they tell us what to do. When you hire smart people and tell them what to do, how to do it, and monitor every aspect of their life, in short, you're telling them that you don't trust them, and they begin to wonder why they're there. Your really top talent, when it gets micromanaged, those people leave swiftly and go to another place where they can exercise their gifts and abilities. So micromanagement is actually communicating that you don't trust people, you don't think that they're as good as what they need to be to do their job, and that you're better than them. And so micromanagement, you want to stay away from that as much as possible. And I pulled this a little bit from Luke 19, right? The parable of the 10 talents, where the master entrusts wealth and says, go produce additional wealth and bring it back to me. That master did not micromanage. The master just entrusted the wealth, went away for a while, came back, and then held an accounting with his servants. That's how it should be. You manage on results, not on activity.
All right. And then let's talk about this number one, because I think this actually surprised me when I got to this on the list. More than likely, you have a significant abuse and family of origin issue that are unresolved.
Yeah, this is a tough one. If you were to take the other nine and kind of coalesce them into a persona, you would look at that and go, this person has experienced abuse of some type in the background. And the business owners that I've worked with who are like this, where these first nine characteristics are general of them, you know, it's characteristic of them, almost all of them were abused as kids. And part of the reason that I wrote the article this way was to try to get the attention of business owners to say, when you have abuse issues in your background, whether it's physical, emotional, sexual, whatever it is, when you have abuse issues in your background, you need to pay attention to that and understand the connection between the abuse that you experienced as a kid, as a child, and how you're managing people today. And you may need to go get some therapy. You may be your biggest enemy as well as your biggest asset in your business. And therapy may very well be able to help you. You need the healing of Jesus Christ in this.
Hmm. Bill English, thank you so much for being with us again today. Again, friends, you can find this post at BibleAndBusiness.com. The post is entitled, The Top 10 Things Business Owners Do That Demoralize Their Employees. More with me, Carmen LaBurge, on Mornings with Carmen when we come back. Bill, thank you for being with us today.
You bet. Have a good day.
You too. Welcome back to Mornings with Carmen. I'm your host, Carmen LaBurge. In fact, we had that very conversation about Martina Navratilova and the charge that she is a TERF, a trans-exclusionary radical feminist. We had that conversation during Monday's program when we were talking with Brandon Showalter from the Christian Post. If you want to go back and listen to that podcast, the podcast of every episode of Mornings with Carmen is available at myfaithradio.com. Mornings with Carmen has a page on the site. We post stuff there every day because we got a podcast every day. And so go grab it, listen to it. If you missed it, share it with somebody else if you think it would be helpful to them. We'll be right back. I got to take a quick break for the news. You're listening to Mornings with Carmen. I'm Carmen LaBurge. So we talked with Dr. Rosemary Stein here on Mornings with Carmen, and she shared some really insightful information about how we can protect our kids from sexual abusers. So as we read the headlines related to the Roman Catholic Church and the Southern Baptist Convention and elsewhere, let's take good counsel from Dr. Rosemary Stein.
When you leave your child alone with somebody that you don't know, you have to equip your child, you know, even 3 or 4 or 5. And the way to do that is just you take it, you're in the shower, you're giving them a bath, and you say that mommy and mommy can specifically touch you like this to clean you, but mom also wants to know if anybody ever touches you in these ways when I am not there. And so you're sort of putting into that mind of that child, well, that's not, you need to report that or need to bring that back to me. And the second thing is nobody should see these private parts. They belong to God and you. And mommy right now and daddy can take care of that, but they're between you and God until you grow up. And so that they know that if anybody would touch them there, that would be inappropriate, that would be wrong. Now, that's a very big word for a child, of course, but that they would say something happened. And then you take it to the next step, which is if that happens, you're allowed to do these things because that is so bad that they would do that, that you want to give a big warning and a yell and a scream and do these things. So it's a three-step process. First is mommy is allowed to do this. The second one is nobody else is allowed to do this. And then the next one is if they do that, then you do this. So that you protect your child from ever being abused, and they understand that these are very special parts of a child and their innocence. And you can say the word innocent, and you can say the word the thought that you are a child and these things should not happen to you. You should be guarded from it.
So we're going to continue the conversation about how sex is being used in our culture in ways that are not only impure but abusive. And we're going to have that conversation with Kevin Malone from the U.S. Institute Against Human Trafficking. All that up next here on Mornings with Carmen.
Are your teens in the attack mode? Do they come at you with guns blazing, ready for a fight? Hi, I'm Mark Gregston with Parenting Today's Teens. Teens often sport an aggressive, I'm here to win the battle attitude. They're willing to sacrifice people and relationships to come out on top. Well, if your child is attacking you physically, don't hesitate to call the police. But if he's attacking you verbally, take time to look behind the words and find out what's motivating him to respond with such ugliness and rage. Once you understand what's behind the attack, you'll be responding from a place of grace and love instead of reaction and defensiveness. Don't let a teen's ugly attack hijack your family. Meet his anger with peace and grace. It won't be long before he thanks you.
Want more help from Mark Gregston? Check out his latest resources online at parentingtodaysteens.org.
You are listening to Mornings with Carmen. I'm your host, Carmen LaBurge. I am joined again today by Kevin Malone. You might recognize him as the former general manager of the Los Angeles Dodgers. He has been with us before to talk about organization, the U.S. Institute Against Human Trafficking, and the important work that they are doing. Kevin is here today to talk with us about the headline news related to Patriots owner Bob Kraft, who's been charged with criminal offenses related to paid sex acts at a Florida massage parlor prosecution alleging that this is part of an international human trafficking ring where women are held as sex slaves. Kevin, welcome back to Mornings with Carmen.
Carmen, it's a pleasure to be on with you. Thank you for having me.
So I would appreciate, maybe you and I could just listen together to part of the press conference from Monday in Jupiter, Florida, where David Ehrenberg, the Florida State Attorney for the 15th Circuit, shared the human trafficking angle on this story. So let's listen to that audio, and then I'll have you respond.
You can tell a lot about our community by the way it treats its most vulnerable individuals, and that includes victims of human trafficking, which is modern-day slavery. Human trafficking is the business of stealing someone's freedom for profit, including, it can happen anywhere, including in the peaceful community of Jupiter, Florida. The larger picture, which we must all confront, is the cold reality that many prostitutes in cases like this are themselves victims, often lured into this country with promises of a better life, only to be forced to live and work in a sweatshop or a brothel.
So, Kevin, let's just have you respond to what you're hearing there from David Ehrenberg.
Well, I appreciate his comments, and I appreciate him making the country know that we do have a major problem with human trafficking, although oftentimes it goes undetected or it's below the radar screen. But I think with the Patriots owner Robert Kraft doing what he did, it kind of brings to light that we have a major problem in America. And I would like to say, Carmen, that one thing different that people don't really understand is, yes, this sounds like human trafficking. These were Chinese nationals being enslaved and being forced to do things in a massage parlor that, against their will. But what is really going on in America, besides that, that is truly happening, is our kids are under attack. Our kids are being targeted and are at risk because there's a growing appetite amongst men in America to pay to purchase sex from children. So that's primarily what we focus on at the United States Institute Against Human Trafficking, how to protect kids, how to rescue kids, and how to restore kids. I'm talking about American boys and girls, 17 and under, that are under attack and being targeted and sold for sex daily around the United States. It's horrific, it's evil, and America needs to wake up and get outraged about this because our kids are under attack.
So, Kevin, there is a segment of audio from the press conference on this subject that actually deals with the demand side, that this is fueled by the demand side. So let's listen again to David Ehrenberg, the Florida State Attorney in the 15th Circuit in Palm Beach County.
It is also fueled by the demand side, demands from otherwise law-abiding citizens who are not aware or don't want to be aware about those being exploited.
So, Kevin, again, you know, we're talking today about sex. We're talking about sex outside the bounds of consensual marriage between one man and one woman for people who are of age. And I think that you and I are talking about human trafficking writ large, and we're talking about not just paid sex acts by adults who are being held as sex slaves, but we're also talking about the victimization of children. And I think that that one of the easy distinctions that we could make here is that where Robert Kraft and others might legitimately say, hey, you know, it looked like a legitimate business and they're all adults involved and it's consensual adults and on and on. And I think that the question obviously then is about consent and morality and all of that. But the question that you are lifting before us, or the veil that you are seeking to lift, is that it's undeniable when you are dealing with children. There's no plausible deniability for the adult involved when we're talking about the victimization of children.
Yes, that's correct, Carmen. I believe that people should know that there is no such thing as child prostitution. If you're 17 or under, you cannot consent to have sex. It's when you become an adult that you can consent, and then the questions arise, as you pointed out so well, who are victims and who are not. But I think the Robert Kraft situation, I think, pulls back the veil, as you said, and kind of exposes that this is a tip of the iceberg, that buyers come from all walks of life. It's not just owners of professional football teams, but it's also our teachers. There's coaches, lawyers, doctors. This men that are purchasing sex from our children are out there, and they look different. There's no one distinguishing factor. And I appreciate your show and what you guys do to alert parents all over America that our kids are at risk. So, yes, this is what we're trying to bring to the forefront, is that America has a problem. And I believe a lot of it stems from pornography, hardcore pornography, which leads to child pornography. Once men start to watch pornography and they go down a spiral into depravity, that they want to actualize what they visualize. So they've been watching this child porn, and it's the growing area of porn that men are seeking, and then they want to actualize it and pay to have sex with our children. So America's got a huge problem, and we need to wake up.
I'm going to continue my conversation with Kevin Malone. You can check out his work at the U.S. Institute Against Human Trafficking, and that website is USIAHT, so it's all the first letters, U.S. Institute Against Human Trafficking, USIAHT.org. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Mornings with Carmen. I'm your host, Carmen LaBurge, continuing my conversation with Kevin Malone. He is the former general manager of the Los Angeles Dodgers. He is the co-founder and president of the U.S. Institute Against Human Trafficking. We're going to invite you to check out the website, USIAHT.org. Kevin, one of the really troubling statistics that you have on your website is this: 90% of victims are arrested for selling sex. Less than 10% of buyers are arrested. And so I think that the arrest of Robert Kraft, it's very interesting to me, the responses and reactions of people across the board to his being, publicly identified, to his name being used. I got to tell you, I'm kind of glad that a really high profile person has been identified, in order that the media is now paying attention to something that is good, that goes on every single day. But because really high profile people aren't necessarily caught up doing it, media does not necessarily pay attention to this. So I'm actually kind of grateful that a really high profile person is involved. And I guess I would say to you, having come out of, the sports world, I actually see you, Kevin, as being in a really unique position, possibly, to engage with Robert Kraft and offer him some very public opportunities to make a real difference in the world at this point. He might, we're going to give him the benefit of the doubt and assume that he didn't know these women that he was paying for sex acts were slaves. But maybe it'll be a wake-up call, not only to him, but to other people. He might actually be in a position to change the course of these women's lives and actually advance this effort to bring human trafficking to an end in America. Your thoughts?
Well, Carmen, I totally agree. It's like you've read my mind. I've been praying for this for a few days, and I've actually reached out to some people that have contacts and connections with Robert Kraft to see if we might just do as you said. One, to see if he is remorseful, if he would express some sorrow or disappointment as actions, and then, as you said, take a stand against it. Come out and say that I didn't know that these women were enslaved. It's appalling. I'm disappointed in my actions, and I want to make a difference. So, yes, I've been trying to reach out to him, praying God will open that door of opportunity. And, Carmen, I think one of the things we try to do at the Institute Against Human Trafficking is we're really going after demand, as you mentioned earlier. We're using technology, and we want men to know that that what you do in the dark will be exposed by the light. And we're using intercept bots, we're scraping phone numbers, we have web crawlers, so we're gaining information to find out who's involved in this. One, to be a deterrent, to try to get men to stop. And if they don't want to stop, if they won't stop, then maybe it's incarceration. They need to suffer the consequences. But we also offer resources to get help. We want to provide help. And we know, we believe, that 50% of all men that purchase sex, they want to stop, but they don't know how. So we're on our website. We have ways that you can get help, and it's all confidential. So if there's any listeners out there that are struggling with pornography or they're purchasing sex and they want to stop, we're not bringing any shame. We're not sitting in judgment. We're here to offer help and try to get you out of that situation that you're in.
So, Kevin, one of the things that they said at the press conference was if you see something, say something. And we think about that. I think about that in terms of, like, you know, when I'm at the airport and I, you know, I see somebody's bag sitting there and it's suspicious. Like, that's my see something, say something trigger in my mind. But I need you to set some mental hooks for me in terms of the see something, say something related to this particular issue. Are there things that we as wives, we as coworkers, we as teammates, we as neighbors, we as, you know, people in church with other people, a full 15% of whom are actively paying for sex with children? Like, that's just crazy to me. What should we be looking for? Are there things that if I see them, I should say something?
Well, that's a great question. I think, first of all, you and all of us need to pray. We need the discernment of the Holy Spirit. We need to know when what we're seeing is wrong. Oftentimes it's disguised. Men can be very deceptive and deceiving with our kids. I'd say just you look for things that just seem to be a little over the top. I mean, a coach that's too nice or too touchy-feely or too enamored with a particular, kid on the team or whatever the circumstances are. I think we just have to be on high alert. And I think the signs are there before us. We can just see kind of a too enamored kind of connection with a coach or a teacher or whoever it is, whatever adult it is. And I just think we should be more suspect of adults around kids. I think we've trusted adults for years in this country. And I think, as you pointed out at the beginning of the show, from Catholic priests to church camps to all walks of life, we're seeing where our kids are being abused. And I think we've got to take extra measures to be safe. And I think social media is a major concern. What our kids are looking at, who they're connected to on social media, is oftentimes it's not our kids, but it's the friends of our kids or the people that they know. So we know we can't really be the friends of our kids. We've got to be protectors of our kids. And I think that's the responsibility before God, is to just keep a close eye and don't have your head stuck in the sand and be suspect of everybody. I'm sorry, I hate to say that, but that's the society we live in now, where we need to be suspect of adults around kids, because we live in a fallen world, a broken world, and we're seeing it more and more, and God's shining a light on the darkness, and things are coming to the surface. So those would just be some of the ideas I would have, Carmen, and I thank you for that question. It's a great question.
Absolutely. All right, friends, you need to go to the website, usiaht.org. You can find news related to these issues. You can post prayer requests, and you can also find out how to stop. If you're on the demand side of this, there's resources here for how to stop. We want to bring an end to human trafficking in the United States, particularly in relationship to our kids. So, Kevin Malone, thank you so much for everything that you are doing at the U.S. Institute Against Human Trafficking. And thank you for being with us today on Mornings with Carmen.
Thank you, Carmen. Keep me in your prayers, and please have the listeners just pray for our Institute Against Human Trafficking and me personally. It's a tough battle, but by the grace and mercy of God, we can accomplish His will and further His kingdom.
Absolutely. We're going to do that, Kevin. Thank you so much. All right, friends, that's all we've got time for today here on Mornings with Carmen. Have a great day, and God bless. Thanks for listening to this podcast of Mornings with Carmen LaBurge from Faith Radio. If you haven't, you can subscribe to automatically receive the podcast through iTunes or the Google Play Music app. That way, you never miss an episode. It's also available anytime at MyFaithRadio.com.